This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Hart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Collect, Marcos Pizza, and Nassau Cruise Port.
The Foundation.
Yeah, today for me, tomorrow for you. Words from the Most High, Selassie I. Jah, I still the whole world I wonder. Oh, to God mankind, I go prosper in this judgment day. The youth them today, living in a world of bloodshed. The youth them today, see every day another one day. You them today can't take it no longer. They pull up anger. More and more it seems so till destruction is the only solution. We need a revolution, yeah. Mothers and children are crying. To the fathers are dying. How much more do we need to see? Yeah. Before we realize we all need to change our lives. Yeah, now the time has gone. Let's not wait till it's gone. Oh, don't let us take too long. And you them today, living in a world of bloodshed. You them today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. On this glorious Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect here in your company on the 23rd of January, 2024. Is that a little pinch of Morgan Heritage? I like that thing. I've never heard this, but I like it. It's really jamming, ladies and gentlemen. I think we need to sensitize ourselves to what's really happening in our nation. I think it's time for us to be able to have a very clear conversation. We need to be able to talk heart to heart about our posture and our position, this kind of a hands-off approach. If we start to do the numbers and identify these things, it's more us than them. My God. We got to be able to talk about these things and talk with clarity. Steadfast in our position to ensure that we could be able to make a change happen in our community. Have we yielded ourselves to biblical prophecy that says that this time is coming? And just kind of threw our hands up and say, well, child, it is what it is. The prophecy time come. Get ready for Jesus. Is that what we're doing? Is that the concept that exists in this space? Have you given up? Well, child, if they take me, I just will make sure my spirit right with Jesus. Is that what you're doing? Have you given up on the fact that you were sent here for the time that you were sent to make a change? You might have lived your whole entire life. Now you steadfast in your 60s and never do nothing that you could recall. But today is your day. We still got to be able to get into those things, guys. I'm going to open up the lines and have a good conversation with you today. We're going to talk about some things. But before we do that, I want to be able to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers down there on number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They got everything in there for you. Make sure you can get your car licensed. Insured, I keep saying licensed, but it's insured. You can get your car insured if you got a jitney, If you have a taxi, if you have SDs, whatever you do, they do in-house financing. This is an absolutely wonderful thing. You want to be able to reach out to them. Give them a call at 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. Ask for my good friend, Etric Bow. He'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas. Guys, we're here live and in full effect. I am grateful to be in your company today. Enough is enough. Is this the DNA? This is a lot. Did the DNA coin it? I can't even say that it did. In the papers today, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Enough is enough. Pintard, more urgency needed in crime fight. More urgency. Is that sort of oxymoronic? Is it not urgency? Is it more urgency? Right? Is it reverse backwards? It's a lot. It's here in the papers today, guys. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. See exactly what Fred Mitchell actually tells Pintard to stop protecting the Grand Bahama Port Authority. That's information in the papers. Shantytown Task Force to travel to Abaco on Wednesday to be able to get more information. We can skip, chew, and walk at the same time. This is the Director of Communications at the Office of the Prime Minister, Latre Raming, yesterday accused opposition leader Michael Pintard of playing politics on the issue of crime and pushed back against the criticism regarding Prime Minister Philip Davis's recent trip to Uganda, suggesting that the Prime Minister is quite capable of handling multiple matters of importance at one time. You know, it's peculiar that I read this like this. You know why? Let me tell you why. Prior to his departure and actually shifting over to Zedness, come on, y'all, talk to me. Let's be decent. Can we be decent today? In the spirit of decency, I present this to you. And I place this on the altar of social sacrifice, that we can all have a very clear understanding of the objective and the responsibility that we have to our community. But not yielding. We should be steadfast and unyielding to a very clear understanding that we as Bahamian people ain't gonna forget. Talk to me. Let's just be very decent about this. Prior to his removal and sort of shifting into a position as general manager over at Zedness, we would have heard the then press secretary of the government, Clint Watson, actually speak to us about the fact that the prime minister speaks differently based upon the environment that he's in. You remember this. The prime minister, depending on which environment he is in, he prepares that and delivers it to that environment. Not sound good coming out of his head, you know, but when that releases and hits our ears, and we try to make an assessment as to what are you saying that we're unable to assess the information? That you have to dumb it down for us? This is where I feel right now. Latre, in his particular capacity as Director of Communication in the Office of the Prime Minister, is stating to us, he's taking on a political position in the office that he sits in. I'm not going to fight him. To be able to state that his Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, but the leader of the opposite, the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party and this administration in office right now, can walk, skip chew gum and walk all at the same time. I think it's peculiar. I think it's extremely peculiar that he would say it like that. While leading in the conversation, leading at the head, at the top of the story today, is that more urgency is needed. Our Prime Minister, we read yesterday that he took a trip of 77 persons to Uganda to be able to deal with those particular things. I think it's peculiar, right? An issue is happening simultaneously in the newspaper with Grand Bahama Port Authority and being able to find out the posture and the position that the government is taking and whether or not they're going to purchase, whether or not they're going to move forward, and whether or not they're going to be able to move towards legal action with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. That's in the papers today. Second page of the newspaper, Prime Minister, helping Haiti is the moral thing to do. This is peculiar to me. This is peculiar to me because the one thing that pops to the forefront for me is a question, not about incompetence or capability, not about whether or not they are concerned, if they have any care, not about whether or not, where is your heart? That's, none of these questions pop up. The one question that pops up for me is a question I often ask myself. Now, I tell you, I am, from when I was a child, I always dive deep into creativity. Right? But that creative process always took me into a daze. So my teachers from a little child would tell me things like, Howard, you need to stop daydreaming. It's peculiar that all my teachers have a Jamaican accent. Don't fight me. This is just coming up, right? Not all of them, but this one for sure. She said, Howard, you need to stop daydreaming. And I didn't know I was doing that. Howard, you could do so much better if you stop daydreaming. And so I will be far off in my mind. And by the time I come back, I have an entire business concept and idea that we can be able to execute. That's what daydreaming did for me. This kind of this drifting off. As I got married, this thing never left me. I started to write it down. I started to kind of execute it. That Habakkuk 2 and 2 took over. And I started to write it down and stretch it out and do what I had to do to it, strengthen it, and learn how to be able to fortify this thing. This is what I learned over the years. And then my wife would talk to me as I'm typing or I'm doing whatever. I really can't hear you. I promise you. She thinks I can't, right? Dr. Treasure talked about it. We talked about it with Dr. Treasure the other day from Bahama Hearing Clinic. That over the years, you know, the wives would normally say, well, I keep talking to him, but he can't hear. But in my case, I really can't hear you because I'm so in tune with what I'm doing. And you know what my wife says to me? She said, you can't multitask. And I'm fine with accepting that. I accepted it. I say, accept that. I said, once I could perfect what I need to perfect and execute it accordingly, I'm good with the fact that I can't multitask. Now, you need to know that I can't multitask. This is me and her talking. I said, and that's why I have a helpmate. Jesus, praise God, I can't even get an amen, right? She said, you think I... So this is a conversation that we're having. I said, I cannot multitask. I'm focusing on this. Let me knock it out. When I'm done with this, then we could deal with something else. The question that I have is whether or not the PLP is spread thin. Whether or not... Let's take it from the PLP. Let's take it from... This sort of an idea of wrestling it within the belly of the organization. Let's take it from that. And rest it where our constitution and based upon the rhythm of our society is indicated it should be on the laps of the prime minister. And the question is whether or not the prime minister can multitask. Whether or not the prime minister is spread too thin. Our prime minister has, at the beginning of his term, he has an objective in an obligation that he's taken on to himself with his blueprint for change internally within the organization to identify a legacy for himself locally and simultaneously internationally. I do not fight him for this. I just want to be very clear. I do not fight the prime minister for being able to take on this kind of a posture, this position, to be able to make his name known into international spaces about agitating for climate change and sort of being able to see modification for the next generation in that. I can't fight him for that. I know by looking at this that the objectives are more than just being able to see relief for the Caribbean states. I know as I look at this, based upon the precedent that has been set before by Al Gore and others, even Kerry jumped on this plane. You forget when Kerry went up to Antarctica, eh? Even Kerry, who's running for president, even Kerry jumped on this plane of climate change. So I know, based upon the precedent that's set, that this objective is not just because I care so much about my countrymen, that this position and articulation with the strength and backing of the Bahamian people, the populace, will propel me into a position that even if I don't win in 2026, they will never forget about me. I will always be someone that they can call on based upon my relationships, so he's forging something for himself. This is Howard, this is observation. Don't fight me. You may have a different observation. We could talk about that. The prime minister simultaneously comes out with a new initiative because the Free National Movement, abruptly left office, and with the devastation that was, you know, kind of visited upon our land from Hurricane Dorian, especially in Abaco and East Grand Bahama, there's still a significant building that needs to happen around there. So the prime minister has a responsibility for being able to identify those projects also. Right? There is so much on our prime minister's plate. There is so much. And it feels like he's trying to hurry up, do everything within 5-year span. Because, you know, the electorate in the Bahamas could be absolutely unforgiving. Yeah, this sort of an idea that politicians carry within their bosoms to believe that, Bahamian people will forget. They you know, over the past 20 years, almost 25 years now, they have not forgotten. They have not forgotten. They have hit a rhythm. They've gone PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM. They've hit a rhythm. And they have not forgotten how to vote a government out. So it seems to me, as I look at our prime minister, I love his enthusiasm. I love his inclusive nature. I just want to be very clear with this. And I want to be honest as I put this out there. This is, I'm a proponent and an advocate for constructive criticism. The prime minister is not doing all wrong. He's not. And I can't identify that he's doing anything wrong. I believe that his focus is not on the issues that matter to the populace. It's about the issues that matter to the agenda. And this is where we are right now. I cannot say that the prime minister he lacks concern. I cannot say that. I cannot say that the prime minister doesn't care. I cannot say that I can say, based upon observation, that he's spread thin. That he's trying to meet those local and social global obligations to be able to put himself, first and foremost, and his legacy, he's trying to enshrine that into a particular space. And ensure that he, and I think that this is a fight that all of them fight. Can I say this? I think this is a fight that every prime minister fights. Very quietly, they won't say anything about it. They contrast themselves to who they believe or who the country has actually indicated is the worst prime minister. And if they could do better than these people, then they could be okay. I think many of them already put it out their mind that they could ever be as good as Lyndon Pinlan. And not necessarily because of his ingenious approach, but because of the inclusive nature and contribution of the men and women around him. You can't have that no more if you have a bunch of yes men holding their hands, waiting for you to be able to come back. They will meet you on the tarmac, roll out a red carpet for you, and shower you with rice and other confetti, and just be able to say, boss, you're back. I'm so happy to be able to see you. What are we going to do now? Whilst you were gone for weeks, nothing was done. Absolutely nothing. And you come back now eager. You are absolutely exhausted. I know he is. I think he needs to, I think we should afford the prime minister some time to be able to take a break. He need to go take a little break, maybe a staycation. Got to take a little break. Because I looked at the national address the other day and I said, prime minister, you're looking a little tired. Not in a bad way. He looked proper, clean, but I could see the one, two wrinkles that we didn't see. And I said, the prime minister looked a little tired. I believe that he spread thin. And no man in this life can be able to execute the plans that they have, this blueprint for change, the plans that exist within the New Day administration's heart for this country. You cannot do it in 5 years. You cannot. Nor can you foresee the significant increase in crime and violence that our country has seen over the past 23 days. Last night, we just received information that there was a double shooting in Abaco. Am I correct? Talk to me. I just want to be very clear with this. It was a double shooting in Abaco. I understand this morning the victims are here in Nassau. They've been they brought over from Abaco. This, after I've received significant information that indicates that there is a significant crime syndicate head in Abaco. These are the conversations that we're having locally. These are what people are saying to me as they call me, Howard, and they're giving me names and they're saying, Howard, don't call, they're telling me, Howard, don't call my name. But they're providing me information. So we can stick this story together. And we have a very clear understanding that there is a mammoth task before us here in this country. Now we could hoot and holler and try to figure out who to point the blame at, who to point our finger to. And it is very easy to put that target on the prime minister's back. But I promise you, the prime minister is doing some stuff. I promise you he is. I'm not a part of his administration. I'm on nobody's payroll. Nobody's giving me no information. Latrade, don't text me in the night and say, Howard, say this. None of that. None of that. But I'm saying to you, based upon the observation and the information that comes to the forefront, by being able to read this, assess this, digest this, and have the responsibility to be able to speak with you, I cannot say that my prime minister is doing nothing. I can't say that. I can say that there seems to be this sort of a standoffish approach. I can say that there seems to be the autonomy for rectification, modification in the country that lies within the bosom of one man. I can say that based upon observation. I can say that nothing moves without the Prime Minister's signature, say-so, or his presence. As I can say, based upon observation. There is no need for us to be able to have this level of crime in our country. And the only person that's coming to the forefront is our Prime Minister. We have Minister of National Security. We have Chief of Police. We have a significant portion of the Royal Bahamas Police Force has been promoted over the course of the past 2-3 weeks or so. There has been movement. But despite it all, we grapple with less than 5,000 nefarious individuals who will be perceived as those that you would call racketeers. Into all sorts of things. Less than 5,000 people, as they have us shaking in our boots, afraid. Child, I will get shoot. This is where we are in this country. My question to you today is that, is our Prime Minister spread thin? Michael Pintard in the newspaper said something that's significant. He said, enough is enough. And while we are here raising our voices, calling on this government to act with a sense of urgency, the Prime Minister is halfway around the world at a meeting that other colleagues could have attended in his stead. He's busy in a safari. He's busy enjoying himself. The Prime Minister ought to be here assembled with the various stakeholders addressing the issue of life and death. This is what he's saying. Then he goes on to say, what does it take to get the attention of the government? While ordinary citizens are being slaughtered. This is what he said. And then he goes on to say, we are tired of hearing that the vast majority of deaths are gang-related. Gang members' lives matter. This is what he's indicating. I want to be decent as I approach these particular things because the one thing that comes to the forefront, and you know, you can't hide these things, not from me. I read these things. I read and I'm a part of what's happening both locally and globally, and I can see these things. Gang members' lives matter. Like black lives matter. Like blue lives matter. Like gay lives matter. Like all lives matter. Gang members' lives matter. Someone should tell the gang members, give them a slogan. Civilians' lives matter. The Bahamas, the Bahamians' lives matter. Bahamian citizens' lives matter. You think my care and concern is about a gang member who decided to be able to pick up a gun? How many of us out there are in this kind of a space that had an opportunity to be able to make a bad decision and we fought ourselves and pushed away from it? How many of us? And what, we're supposed to just cower to this kind of an idea and be able to, you know, genuflect and be able to say, oh, yes, we'll gang members. No. This here, this sort of a rhythm and desire for relentless inclusion needs to stop. The one thing that I'm content with, as persons have this kind of a conversation about bring the UBP back, the one thing that has been identified about that time and era was that segregation was prevalent. Now, it seems to me that the reintroduction of segregation is crucial. My God, this is too strong, Howard. What are you doing? Yeah. Call it what you want. Call it discrimination. Call it whatever you want. But we live here in this society also. And 275,000 of us cannot cower over the fact that maybe 5,000 people have us under arrest. This is bananas. This is crazy. 275,000 of us, men and women, learned men and women who've been through so much, our forefathers gone off to the contract, come back strong, hard hands. They've seen things. They're builders. These are men and women of war. They cower at the sight of 5,000 young men with no brought up seat, afraid to approach them, afraid to drive their vehicles. My wife will ask me questions. Well, where you go? I said, baby, again, right to the store. Hold on, we could get that in the morning. This is bananas. This is how we live in now? We cower and shiver in the shadows whilst these guys roam the streets. We need to fix this and fix it now. And no rhythm of an idea that gang lives matter, enough is enough, this rhythm of a political rally that you're trying to be able to embed into the minds of people, that needs to stop. We need to hear heart and we need to see movement. Don't hit me with nothing else. I don't want to hear no campaign that come out of the United States of America. I don't know whether or not you'll have consultants that indicate that this will be good. This tested well. I don't know. But I could tell you one thing. What's happening in our society goes far beyond ads and commercials. This sort of marketing approach. It is time for us to roll up our proverbial sleeves and get to work. The line's going to be wide open, guys. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Make your mornings easy with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King NASA. These delicious bowls are a complete breakfast in a convenient package for those on the run who want to enjoy the most important meal of the day, the BK way. Each breakfast bowl has all the breakfast fixings you love and comes in three tasty versions to choose from, including the classic, the Southwestern style, and the keto-friendly bowl. BK just made breakfast easier with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
You them today, living in a world of bloodshed. You them today, see every day another one day. You them today.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, the foundation, right here on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, live and in full effect, right here in Guardian Radio. Guys, please, please, please give me a call. Let's be able to participate in this social call. Let me tell you why. Because if you read the, can I do this? Is it okay that I do this? Read this paper. And tell me if we didn't talk about this already. Read the paper. Even the responses that we get from the office of the Prime Minister being able to indicate that they could skip, chew, and walk at the same time, we've already talked about this. So it only says to me that all airs are perked. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Again.
Go ahead, call you on with us live.
Good day. Howard.
Hey.
I thought I would join the show.
I appreciate you, my brother.
Join the conversation.
Thank you very much.
It's Latrey calling.
Latrey, what's up with you?
I'm good.
Praise God. I appreciate you calling, Latrey.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this walk and skip and chew gum at the same time.
You know, I think it's important to take into consideration that the Prime Minister travel to Uganda was guided in the fact that there's a number of high-level vacancies that's going to be happening in a number of agencies, particularly with the United Nations in particular. And so a part of our foreign policy strategy is how do we get the Bahamas on the Bahamas as a part of a number of councils. And one of the votes that's coming up is the National Security Council, which is a rotation. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a lot of diplomatic relationships with a lot of African countries. And so in order for us to secure our vote on key boards, we have to form diplomatic relations because, you know, the most regions, they vote in bloc. And so the PM went to NAM, I mean, because, one, this was an important bloc of African countries and African leaders. Two, we had some huge votes coming up where the Bahamas would be vying to have representation on a number of boards. And it's important that we show and demonstrate to the different regions that the Bahamas and them share similar mutual interests. Kenya is one of the fastest growing economies in Africa. Its president is extremely influential on a number of global issues. And so we wanted to show that the Bahamas, despite our size, could play a very important role in global affairs that has direct consequences on the Bahamas domestic policy, domestically. And so while sometimes we get trapped into the politics, or while sometimes the opposition exploit the Prime Minister's travel, when a decision is made for the Prime Minister to go somewhere, it's because he absolutely have to be in the room to move the margin forward. If he's not required, then the Minister of Foreign Affairs is present. If we're going to establish a very strong diplomatic relationship with a country like Kenya, it's only good courtesy and good practice for the Prime Minister to be there at that moment. It's also good practice for the Prime Minister to say that the Bahamas is an ally in the South-to-South connection. We have similar issues, particularly one that's important, which is the dismantling of our financial service industry by some bodies in the European Union. And because of this cooperation with Africa, we have seen a very strong response at the UN level that is going to benefit the Bahamas. So I mean, I get it. I get that it's good political football, and I think that, you know, we have a lot of domestic issues.
Okay.
The Bahamas is a part of a global space and global environment, and the way key meetings are scheduled annually, we try to make a determination of how we could achieve our foreign policy objectives. And also balance our domestic issues. The Prime Minister have launched a very comprehensive five-step approach to dealing with the issue of crime. We are committed to giving the Bahamas Police Force the resources they need in the fight against crime. And so I think that it will only help move the conversation forward if we could speak to these things from a very more objective
okay. Well, let me touch
place.
This. Let me say this. From our perspective here, 96.9, the foundation with Howard, this is not political for us. So mm-hmm. I'm not on the PLP side or the FNM side.
I wasn't reading you, by the way.
No, I understand. I understand. I understand that Michael Pintard and the Free National Movement will relentlessly indicate that the Prime Minister is traveling too much. We accept that. However, for us, we've been talking about crime from the beginning of the year. From mm-hmm. the beginning of the year, we've seen 17 people executed in mm-hmm. our streets, right? They're gone, right? Mm-hmm. So as we look at these particular things, I only could compare the leadership of what's happening to the country to the leadership that what's happening in my family. And let me give you one analogy. Let me just do a little piece of analogy. I am a married man. I got 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, right? And mm-hmm. is when I'm not home, because I travel, I only work for myself, right? You hear mm-hmm. me in Hong Kong, you hear me all over the place. It's me working, right? Mm-hmm. And if my wife calls me and says, something happened home, No matter where I am in the world, talk to me now. No matter where I am in the world, I got to come home, deal with this, make sure that she's secure, fortify all these particular things. Once there is security, then I can possibly kind of leave this over to my children. That is the analogy I want to give.
So, Grant, you know, I understand the context in which you're trying to create a parallel insofar as leadership, right? And, you know, our approach has been one that I think that has been guided in one basic fact, right? The Bahamas has for a very long time had a growing crime problem, right? The Bahamas had for a very long time had a growing social erosion challenge, right? The Bahamas for a very long time had a situation where the approach to crime was being done in silos, where there were duplication of resources, duplication of programs, and duplication of everyone doing their own thing and no one speaking to one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we saw it fit to say, okay, you know what? We are giving the Royal Bahamas Defense Police Force with the resources they need. We're investing in new technology. We are recruiting new additional officers. But then we are working with our partners internationally to target the trafficking of weapons into the country. We have an anti-gang unit. We have, we have saturation patrol, where we've purchased 100 additional trucks in the last 4 months. And somehow, we aren't moving the needle, right? Okay. So that's meant that we have to have a fundamentally different approach to this. And our view was, okay, we need to have a whole of society, whole of government, right? It has to be rooted in five things. Prevention. It has to be rooted in policing, prosecution, punishment, and rehabilitation, right? And we had to determine, okay, what are the key elements under these five pillars? What programs are aimed at prevention? What are we doing in policing? What is our issue in prosecution? What are our barriers in punishment? What are our barriers in rehabilitation, right? And so we have a bird-eye approach as to how we tackle the root cause of crime, right? We also acknowledge the fact that we need to have an immediate response and a midterm response, a medium-term response, and a long-term response, right? Our immediate response was we needed to have a heightened presence of police on the street. That means we needed a clear hold and build strategy. Clear means we needed to identify the areas that had a very strong presence of gangs, who not only having a strong presence, but they were also recruiting young people on the way to school. And so the police have identified those areas. The second component, when you clear those areas, how do you ensure that the gang element doesn't return to those areas? That's the whole part of the strategy. How do you maintain a strong police presence in those areas? And the build part of the strategy, which is to ensure that we give the young men in those areas a different alternative from a life of crime. So we know that we need to have a very immediate response to this. There is a medium-term issue we have that we've been having for the last successive administration. None to blame. That we have a judicial system that's not working properly, right? And we need to find out what level of it. And that's to do with a number of things, right? I mean, and I thank you for the opportunity to have this really peel back the onions on these issues. The prosecutors need the training. We need the forensic lab to ensure that we're able to evaluate evidence in a very quickly manner. Currently, we don't have a forensic lab in the Bahamas, so those models have to be sent to the United States. You in a holding pattern with other Caribbean countries. Then you also have the issue where you ensure that we have enough prosecutors that involve. You have lawyers who exploit the judicial system because of inefficiencies. We have a number of judges. We have to ensure that there's a level of intelligence in the area. When there's a breakdown between the communities and police and urban renewal is not funded the way it ought to be funded, it undermines that relationship. And so unless you are able to untangle each of these issues, because they all have, I mean, let's give an example, Howard. For the most of the murders that's committed for the month of January, the suspects have been identified. They have been arrested. In some instances, because of saturation patrol, they have been arrested in that either the exact same day or within 48 hours. So they're being arrested, right? They are then taken towards a judicial system where you have limited space in your prison because the prison was built to only accommodate a certain level of population, right? Then some of them can't afford an attorney. You need more defense counsel to make sure that everyone has representation. And so unless you have a government who's prepared, and this is where the prime minister's approach has been systemic, because we could talk about dealing with these issues in just on a matter of policing. But if you don't deal, our primary focus has always been policing. And we have really not put a lot of emphasis and resources around prevention, prosecution, the punishment component, and rehabilitation. Because a lot of these young men, when they serve time, they return to a society that closed their doors on them. So they're stuck in a cycle of violence because they have no economic opportunities. And so, yes, it's politically expedient to talk about all these things. But unless we prepare to address this issue from a whole of society, whole of government, and break down the silos and see what resources we need to do to move these needles forward, then we're going to be stuck in the exact same cycle. So the prime minister, who chairs even today at 2 o'clock, he has a weekly meeting on crime that he chairs personally, and he also said to the trade, you know, I ain't got time for the PR gimmicks. I'm interested in the results. Okay. I'm interested in a result-driven approach where I could meet with the representatives from the DPP office, the urban renewal, the police department, the Ministry of Education, the Department of Youth, to ask them what resources you need for us to pick to make a dent in the issue of crime.
Now, that's the same question I want to ask you. Now, I got to take this break. I would love you to be able to do this for me. I'd love you to be able to tell me when we get back, what do we, because there's been this kind of a relentless approach to be able to talk about all hands on deck. My position has always been the government's responsibility is to identify that deck so all of us can participate in being able to rectify this issue. My question is, what does this administration indicate or see for us, the collective, the 270-some thousand of us who are being ravaged by some 5,000 people? What can we do to assist you in these alleviation of these particular methods? Because this is no longer political. This is about people. This is about being able to find the paradise that we've lost. Detray, I'd like you to be able to stay with me for 2 seconds. Give me that answer and I can let you go. Is that okay? Detray, you still with me? You look like you're going. I'm going to fight him. Let's be able to take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Foundation. Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suit your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Foreign Currency brings you the African Giant live in concert. Burna Boy. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Sivelli, and more. Spilling Gate 2024. Get tickets now. This one is a must that you're there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. 96.9 FM, fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Stop killing one another, stop killing one another, stop killing one another. Open your eyes, put down the weapon of destruction. Get a youth, there is another option. Wicked people promote corruption.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant, your company, the foundation. Today we're chopping this thing down, talking crime. I want to be able to talk with clarity to you about our posture and position as the body of Bahamian citizens. Talk to me. This isn't political. We're not moving on one side of the spectrum or the other. We know that politicians, let them do that. But for us out here that seek to be able to get our country back from the arms and hands of these reckless individuals, we want to have a very clear conversation. The lines are wide open for you to be able to do that. But before we go there, I think we still have none other than Lechay Ramming, the Director of Communication out of the Office of the Prime Minister, being able to sit here with us to be able to talk about, he's called in to kind of be able to do that. Now, Lechay, I want to thank you so much for being able to hold, my brother. You're a good, decent man. Now, when we left off, Lechay, we talked about some things. You gave us the five-point plan. You hit me with the rhythm of these particular things. I'm not going to fight you for that. We understand what the Prime Minister is doing in those particular steads and being able to see those things. I don't want to be able to take up the time with where we believe that there needs to be more emphasis. But we want to talk about how we can contribute. We want to talk about, there is a settled expectation for a very long time that the government should do that. The government has yet to say to us, hey, listen, we want you to be able to participate in this particular way. Lechay, tell me where we, the collective, can be able to participate with our hands on deck. Talk to me. You back with us? You turn them up? Go ahead, Lechay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had dropped off originally. I think the appointment, the question you were saying, the role each of us could play. And, you know, and one of the, and I just want to correct something I had said previously. So we do have the capacity to do a forensic lab in the country. In some instances, we have to refer some cases to the United States given their nature. I think we also, in the government's commitment, we also indicated that we our intention to build a national forensic laboratory.
Yes.
But to your point before the break, we always make the argument that the government of the Bahamas could give, we could hire more police officers, we could hire additional, we could purchase additional cars, we could purchase additional weapons, but we will only be dealing with the issue of policing. The biggest thing that we could do right now in this country as citizens is, one, we could, if you see something, say something. Intelligence remains the biggest part of creating safer communities and environments. We cannot secure our neighbors if we simply don't know the threats that exist. And the biggest way we could get those threats is being, if everyone would be on the lookout for those signs of criminal behaviors, and understanding that the Royal Bahamas Police Force can only do their job better and much more diligently if they have the information to act on it. Secondly, I think that if each of us find one young person that we are committed to mentoring and showing them a different life path, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't have the mentor. I grew up on in the same neighborhood, on the same street, around the same friends, and some alive, some dead, and some in jail. And the only difference between them and me is because I had a mentor along the way. So we all commit to mentoring one young man today that will make a huge difference in our crime statistics. Thirdly, investing in programs, if we support the kind of program that's going to bring about prevention. If you are a business owner and you know a young man that just came out of jail that's trying to change his life and only need a way up, rather than criticizing them or condemning them or shaming them or judging them, commit to giving them an opportunity to really try them out and ensuring that, you know, keeping off the street could be the difference between him trying to rob someone for a way of life or to put food on the table. If you're a pastor, if you're a church, whilst being inside the walls are effective, outside the walls is even more effective. And the church have a very vital role to play in securing the moral compass of our society. And so getting on the streets is always going to be a better strategy than staying in those four walls. If you're a teacher and you are retired and you want to partner with Urban Renewal and giving those young people the need, the opportunity to have, because not everyone can afford tutoring and everyone has the luxury to pay someone to teach them how to solve algebra or to correct a sentence. And if you're a retired teacher, you could partner with Urban Renewal to ensure that 40 students or 30 students can have a chance to pass BJCSEs now make a huge difference in the educational outcome. If you're a coach, not everybody could afford to pay to be a part of the team membership, but if you are open and prepared to just teach one kid how to run track or play basketball, that could be the difference between whether we make a Josh Chisholm or Buddy Hield. I say these points to say this, Howard, that fundamentally that we all could do our part, whether small or little, and it's really playing a role in somebody else's lives, being better neighbors, being stronger communities.
I can touch something and I can let you go.
The erosion only exists when we started to lock our doors and not know who our neighbors were, and we started to stay inside of the church rather than going outside of the church. We started to see mentorship as profit and help and coaching as profit rather than giving someone the hand up. The government will do our part. We will continue to provide the resources. We will continue to give programs the intervention and the sponsors they need to succeed. But we can't make better parents. We can't force parents to tell their kids not to hide guns under the bed or not to smoke weed on the porch or not to hide the weed under the pillows. And we can't stop parents who know their child isn't working but change his car every month or every day or have a new TV or they're benefiting from the proceeds of their criminal activity. We can't stop that. We can't. And I think unless we could really look at ourselves and we look at our community and look at our homes and see the kind of that we in fact could find ourselves as a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in many instances, if you listened very closely to the live on as Skippins brief the public and you hear the cries in the background, you hear the voices of someone saying, I know so-and-so was coming. I know these fellas are coming. We can get them back. So these neighborhoods know the level of trauma and tragedy and criminal elements. They know the who's. They know the what.
But as you speak, I can say this to you, right?
Go ahead.
And I know you got to go. I know you're busy today. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak with you. But as you speak, my lines lit right up. All my telephones going off. And the first conversation that anyone is going to come on here and tell and talk to me about is about poverty, about mm-hmm. this kind of a destitute nature that people mm-hmm. continue, this squalor that people are living in, mm-hmm. and about this administration indicating that this new day, the introduction of that should come with a livable wage. We know that mm-hmm. this administration has done a great deal in terms of being able to live to increase minimum wage. Right. And I think everyone is ecstatic about that, but it still pales in comparison for the squalor that a great deal of persons are living in. And we need to hear more opportunities about, not necessarily the government coughing up money, but access and opportunity for us to be able to 8-point-some million people that came here. How do we now monetize this to touch the people right where they are? So these are some of the issues that matter to us.
And I appreciate the conversation because how it gives us a deeper dive, have a much more comprehensive conversation, right? One of the speeches that the Prime Minister made at the Bahamas Hotel Association in December. He said to them, you know, it's one thing to pat ourselves on the back because 8 million arrivals or visitors came to the Bahamas, right? But he said, you know, it's deeper than the numbers. How much of that 8 million tourists that came to the Bahamas spent a single of their dollar over the hill or in the community?
Talk to me.
Or how are we ensuring that a farmer in Andras and what he's producing, it gets to the table in Bahamas? And this is the structural questions that we have to ask ourselves as industry leaders. And so that's why we're trying to close those gaps, ensuring that using the SPDC to ensure that we provide grants for young Bahamians to get into these industries, so where we could lower the barriers to allow the moving up of the obstacles out of the way. And I think outside of the issue that poverty is so systemic, one of the things that we are truly committed in is changing educational outcomes, because we could increase the minimum wage, we could work along with stakeholders and the Chamber of Commerce to address the issue of a livable wage. But if we aren't also ensuring that we have I want to commend Glenys Hannah-Martin for beginning the work of curriculum reforms and to ensure that the curriculum reflects where we are as a country today, we have to look at the issue of educational outcomes. We have to look at the issue of how we're preparing our young people for the workforce of the day. One of the things that we're bringing on stream very quickly, I say with the government is bringing on stream very quickly, is that we've had conversation about whether or not we need to have a much diversified approach to education. And so we're bringing on a vocational school hub where we're going to give young people the opportunity to have a different approach to a much more diversified approach to education, where it could be a vocational track. And so all of these things, and your question whether it's poverty, and we still have to see the issue that education is going to be the best ladder out of this situation. And at the same time, the government has to be going to continue to double our efforts to ensure that once we educate themselves, that we're going to make sure that we provide the opportunities there. And one of the things that we have, the government has dealt with so aggressively, Howard, is that we have this issue in our country where companies have manipulated our immigration laws to lock Bahamians out. And so what the Prime Minister has taken on as a personal priority is that, and where there are instances where a Bahamian is qualified, he have advocated that the Department of Immigration and the Minister of Immigration and the Department of Labor deny those instances of work permits to ensure that a Bahamian have a right in their country to social mobility.
This is heavy what you're saying.
Train for it.
This is heavy what you're saying. Let me tell you why. Historically, we've known, when you look in the classified newspapers, that if you're looking for a living maid, she have to be able to speak German. She have to have 11 fingers. They make specific requests and requirements to be able to get this job because they've identified the people beforehand to be able to pull into their space. How is the Prime Minister, the Office of the Prime Minister, this administration going to deal with that? Literally, I know, I don't want to exhaust the conversation. Can you join me on Monday next week?
Yeah, no problem. That's my birthday.
Tuesday, it's a good birthday. I can bring you Tuesday, one cupcake.
Tuesday, I would
on Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, definitely.
Next week, Tuesday.
Do a deeper dive into the conversation.
I'll have a little cupcake here for you. Praise God.
Okay, buddy. All right.
My brother, I do appreciate you. Thank you so much for being able to call in with us and kind of have this conversation. We really do appreciate it.
No problem. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was none other than Latre Ramming. He is the Director for Communications out of the Office of the Prime Minister. We're going to continue this conversation and get into immigration, to social affairs, to livable wage, to all those particular things. We're going to get into the medicinal cannabis conversation. We're going to get into everything that we possibly can out of this blueprint for change as it relates to incorporation for technology, so forth and so on. Today, we're talking crime. Today, we're talking about the eradication of sort of this increase, this significant increase of crime that we're seeing here in the country and how all of us can participate to be able to pull those things down. Latre, in his particular capacity, indicated that there's a couple of things that we can do. If you see something, say something. I want to talk to him about these things. Because if we in this society understand, if you see something, you see nothing, talk to me. How are you talking? I make sense? If you see something, you see nothing. I see nothing, child. You swinging your head left to right and you trying to feel for your cane. You ain't seen nothing. That's the society that we're in now. That's the posture that we're in now. If you see, he started to talk about this sort of a concept and idea of mentoring. We actually had a conversation with Sean McQueeny. We had a conversation with former Prime Minister Perry Christie, a candid conversation with him about the concept of mentoring. We had a very clear conversation with Craig Flowers. We had a conversation with Frankie Wilson. We had a conversation with a great deal of these men that continue to tower in our society. And every single one of them could identify someone who took them out of the gutters. The someone who inspired them, a man that said to them that you can do more than this. Every single man can do that. I have none of these people, not in my life. And I don't know if I'm rude, but I have none. I yearn for people that I can look up to and sit with and hear from. I yearn for that. And so I don't get it from one individual. So what I do, I go out and sit with men, different men of different elk and cloth in our society. And I grab what I need to grab from here, and then I pinch this together to be able to identify that this is the course that I want to take in my life. That's what we get to do. Only God bless you if a fellow say, why, my God, I won't pour into you. We got to have clear conversations in this society. And we got to be honest. That no one could hear nothing you saying when they hungry. I can't get no amen. No one could hear nothing you saying. They hungry. If your 8-year-old daughter and your 10-year-old child standing around the bank line on a day, on a Tuesday, when children in school and they out here begging you for money, I say, who sent you out here? Mommy said, no, they can't hear nothing else I saying. They hungry. How we can build a society without being able to feed people? With sustenance, with education, with inspiration, with motivation, to fortify determination to build this nation. Come on, man, I ain't even trying to rhyme. I just saying what I got to say. Let's talk, man. Let's talk about this. He hit me with a lot of rhythm. I like it. I'm here for it. And I'm grateful for his conversation with me. But I don't know whether or not it was substantive as it relates to being able to get to the meat and potatoes of reform, of social revolution, of us being able to take a 180 and get back on course for growth and development. I can read a couple of texts and I can take a commercial break. So it says, Latre, stop it. The pastors, P-A-S-T-A-S. This is what it says. Y'all need to stop, right? Latre, stop it. The pastors just came out of the four walls for a whole national day of prayer called by your great leader. And that changed nothing. A couple hours after that, the national prayer day, like five bodies fell, sucking my teeth. You're all joking with these same old jokey solutions. Nobody have time to be rearing other people cheering. This is a text that's coming through. Your leader, Latre, said that the country is safe and we need to go protect Haiti. Bananas. We're going to talk about this. Is this a call that we got on the line? Let's try this call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. You're on. Turn your radio down. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Can you hear me?
Hello? I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, what I call it, right? I listened to the press secretary, okay?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they got no more press secretary. He's the director of communication.
Communication or whatever.
Yeah,
is, okay?
Yeah, don't fight him. Go ahead.
We need a now fix. Okay? I don't know if they understand that language, but we need to speak it in a different language because all of us are Bahamian. And by Bahamian voice, we need a now fix. Mm-hmm. Okay, all that he's saying about this one and the next one coming together, that's fine. But we are beyond that power, okay? Mm-hmm. We need something now, okay? We need, like the show, the revolution with Juan McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
We need it now. Mm-hmm. We need to send a strong, direct message to these person, like now.
Mm-hmm.
All that he is saying, sure, this one, mm-hmm. get involved, the next one, and whatever.
I like
and
it.
If you see something, you say something.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, see something, say something. Come on, Howard. But on a serious note, they need to come up with a now fix to solve this problem. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think they know what a now fix is.
You tell me. We put them
there to do that.
Okay.
Them. Not us. Them. They were chosen to do it. Thank you.
I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so very kindly for being in there. The tray is spinning more than a top. If the nation is gripped with fear about violent crimes, then that is the Prime Minister's number one duty, which is the security of the nation, not Uganda or climate change. The Prime Minister and his cabinet have great jobs. To hold them accountable for crime is political, because we are all responsible. How do I get a good job like that? There's a text that's coming through. He said, great show as usual. I must be rude because, boy, ain't no one tell me that except mommy. He said, boy, I tell you, Howard. That's why we love mommy. There's a text that's coming through. Mentorship is important, and we got to be able to get into those things. Guys, you got to let me take this commercial break. I think I skipped through one last break. Don't fight me. Let's take this commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
At Wendy's, we are different.
We don't just use beef.
It's fresh, never frozen.
Our burgers are square because we never cut corners.
Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese.
We believe in fast food done right.
Always serving fresh, never frozen beef.
Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple.
Made with fresh, never frozen beef.
Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Creativity is in my blood. From shoes to handbags, fashion lets me express myself and embody Bahamian culture. My name is Aiden Barrow, and I'm the creative director of House of Assembly. Alive's Liberty Prime Plan allows me to focus on my passion and stay connected. Whether at home or abroad, once I've created something new, I can post to social media from anywhere and get instant feedback. Alive has a plan for everyone, and it's created with you in mind. Alive. Believe in best.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant, the foundation right here, 96.9 FM, chopping the thing down, talking crime, talking about alleviation, talking about participation, talking about, you know, how we can get rid of this thing. You know, the lines are wide open, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Call y'all on with us live. Next call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Next call.
Hello.
Turn your radio down, my brother.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Praise God.
This is a really urgent subject we're on, right?
Yes.
And when you examine everything that needs to be looked at, we got to look at the political history of this country through legislation. And first we had internal self-government, then majority rule. At the end of it, we're still impacted by a legislative body that exists outside of our cultural and social environment called the Privy Council. So what that means is the legislative branch of this country, which is the Prime Minister, his cabinet, and the members of parliament in the majority that forms the government, have to make significant legislative advancement to deal with this urgent current issue of crime. We have an excellent and honorable commission of police, and the police constantly complain about the lack of support in the judiciary. So until we have determined that this situation that we have at hand has to be dealt with in a legislative sense, there is no use of us calling ourselves a Christian nation, because praying about it ain't working.
My God.
So now we need to implement what's on the books. Punishment, due punishment for the acts committed against our society, because trust me, the impact of this isn't just local, it's global, and it's going to come back to bite us.
Wow. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so much for your participation. Next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, call you on with us live.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up? What's up, Anton? Turn your radio down.
Yeah, I just, sorry about that. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the nation. Interesting conversation thus far today from all the callers in and text that you've been reading. On the airwaves, Howard. Interesting conversation with Director of Communications, Rami. However, I want to elaborate a little bit more, as we always do on your show, Howard, because these discussions, as you would have pointed out correctly, the airs are tweaked, and we are having lots of meaningful conversation with meaningful suggestions onto the national airwaves, which could be used by the government and or the opposition to assist in the fight, or taking the fight to would-be criminals and criminals in the country, and as well as from the economic side of things. Let me start there, Howard, mm-hmm. which is where you ended with the trade. Mm-hmm. Look, we are the government of the Bahamas, right? The people decided to place the confidence in Prime Minister Davis, correct, Howard?
Well, I like your approach, because it's the approach of support. I feel like the people has taken away the power from the former administration. We've known historically that, you know, they vote governments out, not right. necessarily vote them in. Talk to me.
Historically, however, Howard, I know, because I also played a very integral role, pivotal role in changing the approach to trying to move from just opposing everything that the government did when we were in opposition to presenting our ideas and our suggestions and our solutions to presenting our policy and legislative positions while we were in opposition to give the people a choice mm-hmm. so that they can move away from just voting out towards voting in. And I think that shift took place in the last election, Howard. So to address that, you know, I sound always
ring a row, but there's another day.
Like, yeah.
We got the row, but there's another day, because 38% ain't no voting in.
Let's be decent. Howard.
Okay, look, talk to me.
I'm a man of math and statistics, right?
I'm not going to fight you.
I always had a mathematical mind, right? And I understand your perspective, and I will not say that I disagree with it, because the numbers tell the story, a story that cannot be denied, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the PLP is still a government.
Yes, right? Okay. Oh. We can't deny that. That's absolutely correct.
Let me get back to this point quickly, man. And so, look, Prime Minister Davis is the Prime Minister. And so when the trade comes to the airwaves again, he said Tuesday, because Monday is his birthday, I want to hear the trade speaking in the position that the Prime Minister has met with these various bodies operating in our country, and the Prime Minister has told them, this is the government's position. This is what we expect. Not a position of cowering or curving or bending to. No, we are the government. We set the policy. We set the trend. We make the determination. Okay? If we're going to change the status quo, I want to hear him speaking in that position, in that voice, when he speaks to us as the director of communication for the prime minister. You understand what I'm saying, you Howard?
I understand. I like that. Okay. I like you taking this kind of a strong approach with your organization. I think I agree with you also. I think this can't be, let's hope and see. No. It has to be a steadfast, convicted, strong position that the government says, this is the path that we've chosen. We need your support in getting here. And this is what we can expect as we move towards that. We're still waiting on those things. We need increments.
No. I really appreciate him expressing some of the things that he expressed as it relates to that last part where he met with the hotelier associations, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, on the flip side, Howard, because as we would have engaged in this conversation already, mm-hmm. and I certainly would have been leading it as it relates to the tourist numbers and it being a non-starter to my mind, because how do we link? How do we link development? How do we link the opportunity?
Your mathematical mind. Because the math saying, what Taraji say? The math saying matin. It ain't matin. It ain't making no sense.
So Howard, on that same note, as you said, in the words of, you said, the person's name is Taraji?
Taraji P. Henson.
In the words of Taraji, right? The math ain't matin.
No.
And so what I would like to hear, as it relates to this specific conversation with the hoteliers or with the association from the hotel associations, is what are the new numbers now that we can see coming out as a result of the meeting that the prime minister held, right? That will tell us that these hoteliers are paying attention and they are working with, they are cooperating with, they're collaborating with the prime minister and not against him.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying, you Howard?
Yeah. I like that.
I want to hear that as a result of the meeting, we have now realized an increase of 5,000 businesses across the Bahamas in these various areas. And these businesses are performing very well based on our insights, communications, documentations, or whatever information they provided. So that we can begin to develop statistics coming out of these kinds of conversations.
No, I think they get stats now.
Inform, pardon me?
I think they get stats. I think they get stats.
No. That's not the case right now, Howard.
But
I'm telling you. I'm telling you where we need to go.
Yeah.
I'm giving you like a blueprint, mm-hmm. a roadmap of where we need to go, Howard,
mm-hmm.
so that we can develop our country to the benefit of Bahamians.
See, now this is what I'm saying to you. See, for foreign exchange and for this kind of a money that continues to leave the country, they do have a blueprint. Take
no,
the money
no, no,
out.
I don't mean that. I don't mean
we
that.
We need
I
a blueprint.
That.
Us. Internally.
I don't mean that.
Yes.
I'm talking now about how are Bahamians benefiting. I need to see those stats. I need to learn those stats. What is the result of the conversations that are being had with the various bodies for the country? Develop the stats from that set of information or from that platform, Howard, which
okay.
can be very informative to the country.
Well, I want you to be able to. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to. You got my number. Call me. Let's talk about these particular things. My lines are lit right up and going crazy.
Let me make one more point before I go. One more point.
Then I gotta let you go.
Okay. Thank you. On the crime side, Howard, at the end of the day, I would like to see the opposition, the leader of the opposition, the deputy leader of the opposition, take a completely different stance. Show us that you are nationalist. Show us that you care about us as Bahamians. Work with the prime minister rather than seeking the attention of the media. Work with the prime minister to resolve this issue that's impacting the Bahamas and that will impact all of us eventually through tourism if we don't get this under control. Thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for your participation. Next call on the line. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Howard Grant.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother.
Now, first and foremost, I have to give my condolences to the late His Excellency, Dr. Albert Donaldson, MP.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, he was a patriarch.
Yes.
He was something we would talk. I see him. He would talk. We would talk politics. And
yes.
I remember the 50th anniversary. I said, Dr. I see you. But he said, they don't remember me. I should have taken that blank check the UVP off of me. You mean I would have talked for politics for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a really... I mean, he was knowledgeable of...
I always enjoy him.
What happened and why they didn't.
Yeah.
And I think he made, in 67, he went to London to do a new hospital. He always talk about that. And the PAP government did not do it. But anyhow, getting back to what's at hand, we need to change the law, other people say. Like, the PM cannot stop this. This thing been growing and festive. Do you imagine some family are crime family? Some family literally know these boys don't work. Rent them cars, buy them phones, pay their rent, because some of these boys cannot read and write or count money. So I'm telling you, in the 90s, the state police had to call the FBI to crush this old pound. Literally sell them dope, buy dope from them, buy guns from them, see who family member helping them out, who family member counting the money, who family member buying their cars, who family member helping that, it's like a cancer. Cut the everybody, mama, auntie, uncle, sister, who helping wash the money, even the lawyer is there too. Some of the criminal lawyers washing money.
I don't know this story in the 90s. Where can I find this?
But listen, go to Senator Joe Biden.
Oh, no, you don't understand.
Crime bill. He write a bill that they say caused many black boys to go to jail for 20, 40, 60 years.
My
he
God.
Wrote the violent crime bill. It's right there. Pardon?
They took him to work for that.
Because he caused violent crime to cut in half. Black people was doing stupidness.
Oh,
now,
my God.
If they went to jail because of their crime.
This is crazy. What you saying?
No.
Which black person created cocaine?
Because you selling cocaine, you went to jail.
No. You get a lesser crime for cocaine than you got for crack.
But
black people didn't create crack.
Epidemic. Crack was bad then.
It was introduced by the CIA.
I ain't that far.
I know you ain't getting that far. But you then say you raised President Joe Biden over and say, I tell you, they put him to work for this.
Listen to his 93 speech he wrote to the Senate. He was head of the Judiciary Committee. He was charged with the penal code and all the judges. Listen to his speech where America was going. Murder, robbing, killing, la la la. Then Miami, then Robin McDonald's. Then Governor Jeb Bush did 30, 20 life. He said, I was tired of
having that's the three strikes. That's the three strikes.
He said, no. 10 years, it's a face offense.
They have
to give you 15.
There are three strikes.
Below 10. And if you do somebody until you get hurt, even you could do 20 plus. If somebody dead, you're going to dead for life, not for life.
No, we see what happened. The fact is that we could look at some of these things and try to be able to pick through it, what could be able to work with our culture and our society.
You realize some families indulge in criminality.
Yeah, I know.
They know these boys don't work. And some of them been doing bad deals. Now they hear some of the rooks.
Do you think that exists in our country? Do you think that exists in our country?
Bunch of people did buy deals, some of them. I said everybody. But they live by the sword, they should die by it.
My God. I appreciate your telephone call. I'm not going to fight you. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I got to let you go. We're talking about these things. I like how you can... I like how you all stir the pot, you know. I like it. Oh, my God. If I didn't know these things, I'd let you slide with it, you know. But you need to stop it. In Jesus' name. You all need to stop. They take President Joe Biden to absolute work for his posture against the black community. More significantly, when he had the Bataram, they used to bust through your house. This is what they've done. This PTSD that exists in the black community existed and was compiled all the way from slavery. Every segment of this perceived liberation, they still had another level of trauma laid upon the next generation. Every single one. Every single one. Now, all of this trauma is compiled in the music. My God, I get preachy heavy quick. The same music that our children listening to. Talk to me. Well, Howard, you just listen to rap. Yeah. You can tell me about KRS-One. You can tell me about Public Enemy. Yeah, Will Smith did this. This is what you're saying to me. This music has amplified a rhythm in these children's minds and stirred up a level of violence that none of us want to talk about. We are mere spirits having a physical experience. Let's dive deeper into this conversation. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
Established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
At Winnie's, we are different. We don't just use beef. It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Winnie's. Different inside and out.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, Scotiabank invites you to help them to bring in big energy for Junior John Canoe. Follow their Instagram page, Scotiabank Bahamas, and they visit participating schools to get your youngsters hyped and ready for the big parade on Thursday, January 25th. Once you log in on their page, hit the follow button and like the pics for your school tour. Come out and watch the Junior John Canoe Parade at 6 p.m. this Thursday and use the Scotiabank Bahamas ID page to vote for your favorite school as they show up and show out. Feel the energy, celebrate the vibe for Junior John Canoe, Scotiabank, official bank for Junior John Canoe. This information that we got to be able to say a shout out to all our sponsors and the persons that continue to be able to sponsor the show. Guys, we're still here. The lines are wide open. Let me take the next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Don't fight me. Next one. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good day. How you doing? Thank you, Greg.
All is well, my brother. What's happening with you?
Okay. Quickly. Yesterday I said I was starting with the man in the mirror, right? The dry help, right? So the first thing is I need four people. Like four people. If you could operate a phone and you could swim a little bit, like I'll teach you the rest. Like if they would go down to the Department of Labor, full of whatever application. I don't care what your background is, like long as you could get along with people and you know, because this is in a tourism environment, so I need you to be able to behave yourself. You can't have nobody coming around your, you know, or whatever. So if they would just go any kind of technical swim, skills and you were able to swim a little bit, I'll teach you whatever else you need to do.
Like, which industry are we going? What are we doing? Lifeguard? You say operate a phone and swim. I try to figure out how we put these things together.
Well, we do the sports, videoing the sports, you know, the water sport. Like, so they have to be able to put the drone on them, fly the drone a little bit, put the GoPros on them.
This like sounds like fun.
Yeah, but then you got to hustle that, you know. It's still work, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I keep asking around BTVI, all this stuff or whatever. It's like some people just don't have that hustle. But I prepared. I don't care where you're from, long as you ain't got nobody come looking for you, or you know what I mean? Like,
I don't care about your background. If you're a law company, I don't care about that. I prepare to.
So you need four people. Now, how do they sign up? They go to the Department of Labor?
Yeah, you got to go down there.
Go there first.
Application. I don't care about your police record or whatever. That's still go down there. Like, sign up.
What should they apply for specifically so they don't just generally do these particular things?
Well, like I said, like, you have to be a little bit tech. Like, all of them know how to use phone. So if you get with using your phone or whatever, and you're not afraid of the water, like, if you got to get it in the water in some cases or whatever, and, you know, that's pretty much it. Like, I'll teach you the rest. Like,
okay. I like this, my brother. I'd like to hear more about
it. And also, let me piggyback on that, because I know a lot of times, like, people who have prestigious names and stuff, like, you know, they help a lot of people. I ain't gonna lie, like, but this is how you do it. Like, you don't, like you say, if you hungry, you hungry. You can't hear nothing else but your belly aching or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, even in those houses or whatever, and people saying mommy and all that stuff, but mommy ain't waking.
No.
You ain't waking. So something must happen, and you know what I mean? Like, so you can't blame them. And then too, like, me personally, I think the government has to look at starting, because we have a lot of land in this country. Mm-hmm. Everyone in this entire country is supposed to have a deed on your turn, on their turn. And a lot of times...
To at least one acre.
It exists. If you know where your grammy from, I don't care if she's from Meadow Plain, Mangrove Key, wherever. And these places are booming now. Booming. The tourism, people buying them up, and you know, have Airbnb all over the place now that... Us, like, we get into it now. They're trying to regulate it and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you understand? But they've been doing it for years.
Yes.
So, like, if you was a young man and you have a deed to a property and you could apply whatever skill you need and they'll help you with that and give you a grant to start your home, now that even interests a girl. Plus, you ain't gonna mess that up. You're not going, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't into sitting on the block. Now you have something. If I go build my little apartment and rent some... You understand? Like, so this
I like this.
You know what I mean? Like,
I like this.
These young people, me too, I come up hard, like, and still scrap it, but they need to have hope. You understand? Like, you can't just say, I gave one job to the hotel, the job fire, because you smoke one day. So, you know, like, we got to change the whole mindset.
I like this.
And, you know what I mean? Like, so that's all I got to say. Go down
to the airport
department, whatever skill you got. Yeah, we got to get it done.
I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that plea. Go down to the Labor Department if you're looking for something to be able to do. Learn how to operate a phone and be able to swim. At least doggy paddle. Talk to me. Know how to do something in the water. Don't just sink to the bottom. If you're big, it might work. You could just float. Tell them you can float. That's the start. Talk to me. Go down there and get this particular thing taken care of, guys. Before we get out of here, let me see if I can read a couple of these texts. I got a tremendous amount of texts coming through, so let me see if I can read some texts. Y'all don't fight me. I see the lines are lit up also. So it says, yeah, you talk about how all these great Bahamian men can identify at least one man who has mentored them. But the bigger question is how many of them have turned back to help? How many young men have they empowered? We tired of these old people who just talk but don't really empower. This is a text is coming through. Y'all don't fight me. I'm reading the text. Let's read these texts. So let's see. I got tons of texts. Howard, I come to the conclusion that the Prime Minister is fulfilling his travel bucket list. No, I can't agree with you, but you text this. This is fine, but it's on our dime. And multiple croonies, too. It's sickening. This is a text is coming through. It says, I guess that Jay Fitz will be the next ambassador to Kenya. A new position created for him. Is this a real country? I can't lead with the speculation. I'm not going to fight that, right? So it says, Howard, please provide more information on the whistle Prime Minister Davis suggested. Where can I order one? I think they're on wish.com. Check out wish.com. You can be able to get that. It's probably going to be a very small whistle with a big rope. Just check out wish.com. Howard, The last list of issues Latrey outlined is nothing new. We knew long time we ain't got no forensic lab. Training needed. Latrey came back and actually corrected that. We do have the capacity for the forensic lab, and this administration has committed to kind of building those things. Training need to represent the Crown. Same old intellectually dishonest sound bites from the office of the Prime Minister. This is what he's saying. He says, good day, Mr. Howard. Great topic. I hear your passion about all hands on deck, and I agree. As a former gang member, we can need to know more information from you, cousin. Call me, 827-0111. I'm going to take your number, I can call you. As a former gang member, I'm doing my best to discourage the young men in my area, but there are one or two that is hell-bent on committing crime, and you have to be very careful on how you confront these young men these days, or you will end up having to stoop to their level, crime-wise, to defend your belief or the message you're trying to relate. People rather not engage and be silent. This is what we're talking about. See something, say something. Let's talk about these things. This is Howard. Come, like we have to speak Creole to Philip for him to understand. let me be decent. Let me see if I can read it again. Howard, comes like we have to speak Creole to Philip. You got to be decent. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, for him to understand that he isn't listening to the local people. He's too busy listening to the outsiders. Didn't Clint... I can't read your text no more. I'm sure you mean Clint Watson, right? Didn't Clint say that the Prime Minister encoded the Bahamians but speak truth to the outsiders? This is what you're saying. So it says... So the Physical Responsibility Act is law, and the chairman of the PLP says that the PLP is opposed to it, and the PLP is opposed to it. Are the conceding that the new year, the government is opposed to following the law? Well, I suppose that means, are they conceding? Are they conceding that the New Day government is opposed to following the law, all while trying to bring the escalating crime rate under control? So it goes on, it says, Anton, forget the low voter turnout. Yeah, we talked about that. We can talk about that different. See, Anton is right. The PMDM did make suggestions in opposition, including women getting whistles when in distress. Yeah, this is information that's coming through. It says, real mouthpiece for the Prime Minister. Anton, y'all need to stop, right? This is too much. Since the Trey said that the court system is broken, that is bananas. So the fixing of the system should be the focus of the Prime Minister. We gave the PLP government the resources and the apparatus for the state to fix problems. When the FNM government couldn't get the job done, we voted them out of office. We are not hearing any excuses. When seconds count, the police are minutes and sometimes hours away. This is a text that's coming through, right? How much time we got left? One more minute. My God. Good afternoon, Howard and the Bahamas. The government can't afford to continue to run away like Jonah, knowing that the implementation of certain punishments will yield positive results. Right? We got to talk about this too. This is what Joe Biden did was racist to the core. It was directly aimed at people of color and ignored the white crime, the white criminals who did the same crime, right? That's the whole debate associated with that. It says, is he doing an internship? And please invite females. They may think it's only for males, right? This is the text that we just got through. Good afternoon, Howard. Our Prime Minister travels the globe because of being in high demand to address global warming. He does not see the urgent need in his own country. It would be great if he could take that passionate stand and that he led when holding up the infamous crime posters against the FNM government. Show us that you really care by canceling at least one trip to seriously address crime. This is information that's coming through. It says, hang them high, Howard. Hang them high. Hang them high and hang them low. Howard, we need to hang. All right, this is texts coming through. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the show today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to tune in. Tons of texts, tons of participation, great conversations with all those particular persons. We continue to be able to knock, 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 knock on heaven's door so that we could be able to find resolution, transformation for growth and development in our city, the city that we love, the city that continues to shimmer to the stars, the Bahamas. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. Let's see if we can be able to dive deeper into this. Tomorrow we can have a panel discussion and be able to open up the lines. Thank you. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.